What a sweet consolation. What a wonderful blessing. That in Jesus Christ we have a friend, we have a helper, we have a great high priest who has promised to hold our hand. Amen. We have those here in this church who I am convinced when they sing that song, it rings so true. And we are thankful for them because they're holding on to the hand of Jesus the Christ and believing one day at a time and resting in that promise of eternal life. And we thank God for that. And we thank God for you. For everyone here tonight, I say to you, welcome. We are glad that you are here. Appreciate Gary for leading us in these songs tonight. And appreciate Brother Steve and his fine prayer. I want to begin tonight by sharing with you two passages of mine that have been of great help to me. I want to share them with you. I want you to etch them into your minds. The writer of Ecclesiastes says, "Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all of your strength." Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all of your strength. Paul writing to the church at Colossae, whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. I'm excited about this year in 2014. I'm excited about the direction that we want to take and intend to take with our youth, our junior high, our senior high, and those that are working with our college and career age. This will be, before long, pressing into year 9 that I have worked with our young people. But I will tell you, this has been a work of many, not of one or a few. Brother Patrick Gaughan and Eric Hellinger and Michael Parks have helped me. Travis Starling have helped with our youth in the past. We have some new men that are helping. Those that will be helping Travis Everett with the junior high will be Craig Hecht and Gary Richards. And so Craig Hecht and Gary Richards will be working with the junior high ages this year. And I have asked Brother H.E. Jenkins and Brian Tacker to help me with the high school. And Steve Turquette and Doug Welch continue to work with others that are college age. And what I just want you to know, especially those that are new among us, is that there has been a great deal of cooperation and participation. And this work or these works that we're doing would not be possible had it not been for the encouragement and the help, the assistance of so many, those who have hosted, those who have opened their homes, those who have helped as individuals in providing certain things. I say to you, thank you. And I appreciate especially the cooperation and the help of the parents and the grandparents. That goes a long way with regards to helping our young people. So I'm excited about this year as we press forward. Our youth, I want you as we go forward, young people, I want you to look at yourself and ask yourself the question going into this year, will you be a polluter or a purifier? Will you be a polluter or a purifier? I'll tell you something about polluters. Polluters contaminate and affect others, but not in a good way. Polluters are the doubters. Polluters are the gripers. Polluters are the complainers. Polluters are those who are among, as a friend of mine says, the fellowship of the miserable. They're seldom, if ever, content or happy. They never see the good in anything in life, and they never see the good in others in this life. That all their eyes can focus on and all their mind dwells upon is the bad, is the negative. They think in minimums, not in maximums. And they're forever saying, I can't or we can't, rather than I can or we can, with the help of God and through wise planning. Don't be the polluter. And so the purifier is just the opposite. But what I would have you to understand about the purifier is the purifier, because he or she is seeking to do good and to be good, the purifier is of good influence on others. They're the kind of individual that others want to be around. I mean, Is there any person in your neighborhood? Is there any person at school when school starts back? Is there anyone where you work that when you see coming, you turn to go the other way because you don't even want to be around them? The purifier just makes everyone around them better. But I don't want to preach on that. But are you a helper or are you a hinderer? The hinderer causes delays. The hinderer is difficult because he or she seldom accomplishes anything and always sees a reason or always seems to be the one or the ones that slow others down, that prevent progress. A good message sometimes ought to be this: lead, follow, or get out of the way. We're to be helpers. I think of Phoebe when I think of being a helper. One who pitches in, contributes, share the load. One who is a servant. I think of Phoebe. And let me read to you Phoebe in the words of the inspired writer, Apostle Paul, in Romans 16, 1 and 2. Listen to what Paul says about Phoebe. See if you are a Phoebe. And guys, we can be a Phoebe. Romans 16, beginning verse 1. Paul says, "So I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church in Cenchrea. I asked you," Paul says, "to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints, and to give Phoebe any help that she may need from you." Why? Well, because it's the right thing to do. It's the way saints receive others in the Lord. But Paul gives another reason. "For Phoebe, Romans 16 and verse 2, has been a great help to many people, including me." Are you a hinderer or are you a helper? But I don't want to preach on that either. This is the one I want to preach on tonight. "Whatsoever your hand finds to do, do it with all of your strength. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord." Are you a doer or are you a dreamer? Now, there's nothing wrong with being a dreamer. And there's nothing wrong with having dreams. The problem is there are too many that are only dreamers and never doers. They don't follow through with all of their great and grand plans. They talk about, they think about in January what they want to have accomplished if the Lord gives them a year, and they get to November and December and they've done very few of those things. They are dreamers, not doers. Sometimes we dream. Sometimes I dream a dream that's not of God. I didn't intend to dream that dream, but sometimes my thoughts, if I look at them a little bit closer and a little bit longer, find out that was me, that wasn't God there. But I tell you, sometimes our dreams are not realistic. Sometimes I'm dreaming a dream that's not realistic. And if I'm dreaming a dream that's not realistic, and I say, "Well, I remember the preacher said, be a doer, not just a dreamer. All right, so I'm going to go forth and do. I'm going to see and make this dream in 2014 a reality." Let me tell you about an unrealistic dreamer. An unrealistic dreamer who tries to be a doer is only going to be a frustrated trier. I'll give you one example of that. And I'm no longer a watcher of, I think it's still called American Idol. Everybody wants to be the professional singer and goes and tries out. They want to sing. You know why you end up having someone on American Idol that gets up there in front of the judges to sing that cannot carry a tune in a bucket? You know why? And he or she thinks that they're just the best singer anybody's ever heard. But you know why they're up there? Not all of them, but a lot of them are up there singing off key. They're tone deaf, can't carry a tune in the bucket, because somebody loved them enough to say, "You're the best singer I've ever heard." And they're dreaming one day of being a professional singer. But their dream is an unrealistic dream. So I'm not anti being a dreamer. But make sure your dreams are realistic. And I tell you something about a dreamer in realistic dreams. I'll tell you something about a realistic dream. I can tell you a lot about a dreamer by the passion and pursuit to accomplish that dream. I like watching football. This is the time for the college bowl games. A lot of them are passed. This is the time for the NFL playoffs. I like watching football, and I've been thinking about football the last few weeks. But I tell you something, when you get down to it, there are basically, bottom line, two groups at a football game. You've got the doers, and you've got the viewers. You've got people that are watching, and you've got people that are working. You've got those that are making the plays, and those that are at home, like me, just making a bunch of noise. There's doers and there's viewers. Be a doer, not simply a viewer. And I'm not talking about football anymore. Listen to what the Word says. Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." And so Jesus continues in verse 24 of Matthew 7, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them is like the wise man," and you know the rest of the story. And the point that's made in those passages by Jesus is, be a doer, but a doer of the will of God, a doer of the will of Christ. Let's continue through the Word of God. James chapter 1, verse 22, "Be doers of the Word, not hearers only." James 1:25 now, "He who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man will be blessed in what he does." Who is going to be the blessed man? The one who is a doer of the Word and the one who is a doer of the work. In both cases, we're talking about a doer. A doer. 1 Peter chapter 2, 15. "Such is the will of God," Peter says to these Christians who were suffering for doing right. He says, "Now such is the will of God, that by doing right, you may silence the ignorance of foolish men." How are you going to silence the ignorance of foolish men? By talking? No, by doing. But doing what? Doing right, or doing good, other translations say. Ephesians 2 and verse 10. "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." That God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And the point of that is that we should do them. Now, I usually pause here just to make a point so that we don't get off track biblically. When we talk about works and we talk about doing, we're not talking about doing enough deeds and right works and good works so as to merit or earn our salvation. But we are talking about being a people that have been recreated in Jesus Christ, who were doers and not simply viewers. I can't think of any scripture in the New Testament that would better sum up the life of Jesus the Christ, our example, our model, than the passage in Acts 10 and verse 38 that says of Jesus, "He went about doing good." He was a doer. At some point in our churches, we just need someone to get up on a regular basis without beating us over the head with the club, but just reminding us that the will of God and the Word of God says that the people of God must move from talking to taking action. From discussing to doing. I think about Mary. And that occasion recorded for us in Mark's Gospel in chapter 14, where Mary brought the costly oil and she poured it over Jesus' head. And she was criticized sharply for that. And there was one such, Judas himself, that thought that was very wasteful. And we could see why his thinking would be that she had been wasteful. But Jesus was very much to the point. And Jesus said, "You leave Mary alone. Because Mary has done a good work for me. She has done what she could." Now, young people, I want you to think about that. Jesus said that Mary did what she could do. I mean, you could make your list. You go back into the text of Scripture, you look into the context, you study the life of Christ, you see the situation at that time, especially with regards to women and how they were viewed and the limitations that no doubt were placed upon Mary. There were a lot of things that Mary could not do for Jesus. There were a lot of things that she could not do. But here was one thing that she could do. And so she did what she could do. And Jesus commended her for it. And what I'm saying about that is I understand the temptation sometimes among us, and it's not limited to young people. And that is sometimes we look at all of the things that we can't do, and we're frustrated and upset about the thing or the things that we can't do, rather than looking at the thing or the things that we can do, and then go do them. Now, we have many here that have, and I know will continue to do what they can do. My point is directed primarily at our young people. In order to be a doer, and I will tell you, it's the doer that's the difference maker. I want someone to say of you, who knows you and knows you well, who's known you for the last 3 years, who's known you for the last 5 years, who's known you for the last 7 years, I want someone to say of you, when you're finished with high school, when you're finished with college, I want someone to say of you, he or she was a difference maker. I'm not talking about in any kind of athletic pursuit. I'm not talking about any kind of musical pursuit. I'm not talking about any kind of educational pursuit. Although those things are right and proper, and I want you to get a good education, just like your parents do. But I want somebody to look at you and say, you know what? I've looked at her life. I've surveyed the landscape of his life. And I'll tell you something about that person. Even in their teen years, they were a difference maker. Because they were a purifier. They were a helper. And I tell you something about the doer who's a difference maker. It's the kind of individual who sat down and finally said, you know what? It's decision time. It's decision time. Decision time to do. But that's really not where you start. Even though I've been pursuing and highlighting, be a doer. It's the person who's not simply made the decision to do. It's the person who's made the decision, listen to me, or listen to Jesus, to follow Jesus. Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, Jesus says, and follow me. Somebody says, that's a good passage. That's a great passage. And it is. Who's Jesus talking to? Well, He's talking to those that have been in the kingdom and those that have been Christians for a long time. No, he is not. If you're a Christian, he's talking to you. I don't care if you're 13 or 30, 14 or 40, 15 or 50, 16 or 60. You keep going. He's talking to you. He's talking to me. Somebody says, okay, I've decided to follow Jesus. Wonderful. That's where it begins. Now here's where you go. And here's why I go in this year. Because I have made the decision to follow Jesus. Now as a follower of Jesus, I'm to be a doer of the Word, of the work, of the will, of what is good, of what is right. I am to be a doer. And so in following Jesus as a doer, I will. And this is where you fill in the blank. I will what? And this is where you fill in the blank. Junior high. Those of you especially who are Christians, and you're in the junior high group, as a follower of Jesus, what will you do this week? What will you do this month? What will you do this year? Because you've decided to follow Jesus. And focus on what you can do, not what you can't do. High school. Guys, you need to step it up. More is expected from you. Just like more is expected from me than from you. More is expected from you. One of the reasons that more is expected from you is because you're in a position of influence. That's not to say that the junior high is not in a position of influence, but that is to say because of where you are in life, I can tell you that there's someone who's 13 looking at you that's 16. There's someone that's 12 looking at you that's 17. There's someone that's 8 that's looking to you that's 11 or 12. I'm telling you, step it up. Now, no, that's not me getting up here and telling you that 2013 you guys didn't do anything and was a flop for you. That's not what I'm saying. I have no right to judge in that area. But what I am saying is, I believe in you to do more, to do bigger, to dream better, to think higher, to get outside of yourself and more inside the will of God. I need to say that again. To get outside of yourself and more inside the will of God. In order to do that, you're going to have to say, I've got to work on selfishness. And all of us have to. In order to get outside of yourself and get in tune and into the will of God, not only are you going to have to deal with the selfishness and really work on that, you're going to have to tune your mind into the Word of God. Let me confess a fault. Sometimes, guys and gals, Amy, my wife, will ask me a question. After 21, 22 plus years, she can pretty much tell when I've tuned her out. And she'll say something or she'll ask me a question and she'll turn right around and she'll look at me and she'll say, did you hear me? And I have to say, no, I didn't hear you. Football game was on. It was the last minute of the fourth quarter. Or, no, I was looking over here or looking at that. I wasn't tuned into you at all. And because I'm not tuned into her, I'm not hearing what she's saying. And she could have said something that was really important that I needed to know for tomorrow or for next week, but because I'm not tuned into her, you get the point. I've been doing this a long time. I've been a teenager, and I've been talking to teens for a long time. I've been in multiple states. I've been around a lot of teens. And I can tell you something that I've learned. In every group, there is one, two, or a few in every group that are not going to be tuned in. It doesn't matter what's said. It doesn't matter what's done. It doesn't matter the plea. It doesn't matter how regular the plea. It doesn't matter that the parent begs. It doesn't matter that the parent offers the bribe. And I'm not saying we ought to do that. It doesn't matter what's done or what's said. That teen or that preteen is not tuned in. Oh, I didn't say they wouldn't show up. I didn't say they wouldn't come to the Bible class on Sunday and Wednesday and show up to the devotional once a month. I didn't say that they wouldn't show up on the weekend that the teens have their special youth lectures every summer. I didn't say they wouldn't show up. I just said they weren't tuned in. And you've got those in every group. You've got them in every church. I pray for those. I pray fervently for those. I plead. I try to encourage. I ask for patience from the Lord that I might be patient. I ask for wisdom that I might say the right thing in the right way at the right time. But you'll have them in every group. So having said that, two things about that. Number one, if I've just described you, that means that's who you were in 2013. If I've just described you, it's not tuned in. You need to change. Because if you don't tune yourself into the Word and the will of God and to others who want to be of help and benefit to you in the kingdom of God, if you don't, not only were your teen years, if you live long enough, not only will your teen years be difficult for you and your parents, but your adult years will be very, very unfortunate. You need to change. To those who have been, and to those who say, I will, be tuned in. Don't be discouraged. Don't become frustrated by those who are not. Don't come home after Bible class. Don't come home after devotional and dwell on the negative. You continue to be right. You continue to do right and seek opportunities to influence them to change. Because it's not just about showing up. It's about suiting up. Suiting up in the armor that the Lord has given His soldiers to put on every day. And you can see it in Ephesians chapter 6. We sang the song this morning, Living for Jesus. Think about that song. Think about it today. Think about it this week. Think about it this year. Living for Jesus. Striving to please Him in all that we do. Following His leading. Giving Him my all. Seeking the lost ones. Bringing the weary to find a place of rest in Him. Think about that song, Living for Jesus. There's another song that's a favorite of mine I want you to think about as well. It goes hand in hand with that song, Living for Jesus. It's the song, I Surrender All. The point is all. Somebody says, well, isn't the point surrender? I think we understand surrender. Doesn't mean we always live by what we understand and know, but we get the surrender part. He says, I surrender all. And I'll tell you something about that the older that I get. I realized in my teen years, there are a lot of things I didn't surrender. And it created difficulty for me in my life. I look at my marriage and see things where I didn't surrender, and it produced difficulty in my marriage. We are to surrender all. Have you surrendered all to Jesus? When I'm more concerned with impressing people than I am pleasing God, chances are I need to surrender my pride and ego to Christ. And I tell you, that's tough in your teen years. But it doesn't get easier. When I'm more driven by me than I am others, chances are I need to surrender self to Christ. Young people, listen to me. I'm finishing it up. I want to bring you back in if I've lost you. Have you surrendered? Have I surrendered my entertainment choices to Christ? What you watch, what you read, what you listen to, have you surrendered your entertainment choices to Christ? He says surrender all. Have you surrendered your thoughts? Have I surrendered my thoughts to Christ? Or do I let my mind dwell on what's impure and lust-filled? And teen years can be difficult years. I acknowledge that. But Jesus says, you surrender all. Have I surrendered my money and my time and my talents, or does God get my leftovers? Have I surrendered my body to Christ? Because that's the key to remaining sexually pure. To surrender your physical body to Christ as King, knowing that you were bought with a price and your body doesn't belong to you. I guess what I'm asking as we close tonight is the question, have you surrendered self to Christ? Tonight's decision time. If you are here tonight and you're outside of Christ, it's decision time. And you're the only one in this place at this moment that can make that decision. It has to be yours. But it's decision time. And when you weigh the evidence, there's not a doubt in my mind that Jesus was who He said He was, the Christ of God. When you weigh the evidence, there's not a doubt in my mind that Jesus wasn't resurrected as He said He would be. And so I'm not asking you, I'm not begging you to place your life and your soul into the hands of a fraud or a fake or a liar or a lunatic. I'm asking you to place your life and your soul into the hands of He who is Lord of all, Jesus the Christ. It's decision time. Where you will go to church will be another decision. How you will worship will be another decision. Important decisions, absolutely. But for you that are outside of Christ and in need of the blood of Christ to save you and to cleanse you from your sin, your decision tonight is not where you will go to church and how you will worship as much as it is, will Jesus be your Lord and will you let Him save you of your sin? Will you trust Him? And when you absolutely trust Him for salvation, for eternal life that only He can give, then at least, as I understand it, what you're saying is you now trust Him with your life so that where He leads, you'll follow. What He says in His Word is what you want to do. And so when He talks about worship, and when He talks about life, and when He talks about assembling with the saints, and all of those kinds of things, your mind is only attuned to that. But for you, decision time tonight is, will I let Jesus be Lord of my life? And will I come to Him for salvation? And some of you tonight are in a position, mentally. Some of you tonight are in a place of age that you need to make that decision. Maybe some of you made that decision years ago. But you, honestly, looking at your life, you know that you haven't been a doer. And so what that means for you, what that would mean for me, is in the quietude of my heart, as we sing this song, or right now, you say, God, forgive me, be merciful to me, and with your help, today, this month, this year, I'm going to be a doer. But I need you to forgive me because I haven't been a doer. Make that change. It's decision time. If we can help you, won't you come while we stand and while we sing?